Quite a few years ago, I was an area rep for Tear Fund, and used to do speaking out for them and arranging Cliff Richard's concerts. And so that's how I got to have a meal with him a couple of times along the way. And I was doing something in Emmanuel for Tear Fund particularly. We decided to perhaps give people the idea of what it would be like to not have the same as everybody else. And so we did a meal. And the idea was everybody after the service on a Sunday came out the back and we did a meal. But we had, they have like a stage like this in their back room. And so the tables were laid out down there. And there was one table laid out on the top. And it was done up. And everything was set nicely, candles on, the whole works. And it was set for 10 people. And as you came into the room for your meal, there was a basket and you had to pick out a piece of paper. And if there was a number numbering 1 to 10 on that piece of paper, you were chosen and you were invited up to the table on the stage. If it wasn't, you were, and if it was just blank, you sat down below. And we did a three-course roast dinner, and everything was laid on. But for those down here, it was soup and a roll. And we had, it was quite fun in one sense, because people were skitting those that were up, getting waited on, eating all of the bounty of what had been laid out, and others with just soup and a roll. And so, it, you know, it gave some indication of what it's like to be a bit deprived. That was the idea we were doing, you know, that some of us can feast all the time on the best of things, and yet there are those who have very little to get by on. And, you know, it's a picture sometimes of us with the Lord, I often think, that we're invited to the table, but we feast on the soup and a roll down below. We just have the crumbs instead of what God invites us into. So we're going to look a little bit at that through this verse today that we get to in Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord as shepherd in those first four verses that we've read about now moves to the Lord as host. It describes a magnificent banquet provided by the most liberal and beneficial host. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and this is what we are." And John 10:10 says, Jesus, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly," have it to the full. And so the provision of God is absolutely abundant. So when we look at this, the table that is spread here suggests bounty. In Psalm 50, it says this, "For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and everything in it." When God provides, he's not drawing from an empty well. All the resources of heaven are in his hands. What do I need? Do I need love today? John 3:16 tells me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He didn't just say, "I love you." He showed it by giving everything he had. He gave his only son. Our God is a lavish giver. Is it forgiveness that you need? The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does he just forgive our sins? No, because it says he removes them as far as the east is from the west. Our God is a lavish giver. Is it strength you need? Isaiah says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. We don't just get to renew our strength, we get to mount up with wings as eagles. Our God is a lavish giver. Is it power you need? It says, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, God doesn't just give us power. He imparts something of himself in that power. All that he has is available to us. He's a lavish giver. Is it purpose? It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. Not just we're his kids. We're his masterpiece. He always goes above and beyond. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He has purpose for each one of us. He is a lavish giver. There is abundance at the table of the Lord. His giving is lavish and his resources are endless. So if the table suggests bounty, prepare. You prepare a table before me. That suggests foresight and care. We have a God who has gone before and prepared. I don't know if you've ever watched one of those royal TV programs, you know, where they show you what happens when there's going to be a big banquet in Buckingham Palace. I watched one time, and every single detail is gone, you know, weeks in advance they've planned it, how the table will look, the lavishness of the whole thing, even measuring the knives and forks, making sure that they're in the right place and all of this kind of stuff. And it's lavish, all the preparation before the banquet ever takes place. Nothing is overlooked, even the way the table is presented. And Philip Keller talks about the role of the shepherd coming into the summer months when the sheep are taken up to the higher lands. This is out in the Middle East and those areas, and where David would have been a shepherd when he wrote this psalm. And he talks about how much preparation is required to make the area safe. You know, there are poisonous weeds to be removed. He talks about these flowers that are out there, and they're called camas flowers. And he said, some are blue and some are white. And the blue ones, when they come out in the spring, look so lovely. He said, you look out on just fields of blue. And it reminded me of the woods, you know, with all the bluebells when they're out and how beautiful it looks. And he said the white ones are a bit more conspicuous. And there's just the odd ones hiding here and there. But they're the ones that are deadly to sheep. And so he has to go and get them out of the way, clear the pasture so the sheep can graze. And there's a whole lot of effort that goes into that preparation in advance. How like God with us? He is the lavish giver. He's foreseen and he's foreprovided. He knows what I'm facing tomorrow. I don't. But he knows, and he's gone before to provide everything I will need. He employs angels even to work on my behalf. I often wonder how many times God used angels to protect me, to help me in different situations. And it's great, you know, I'm sure there's been many times. And one or two I have known, and others I haven't. But God is there, covering every situation I will face before I even get there. The other thing the shepherd looks for is predators. You know, he looks for signs of wolves and bears and stuff like that, cougars where Philip Keller was, but David had lions and bears because he killed both a lion and a bear when he was a shepherd in order to protect the sheep. If you remember when I spoke on verse 1, I talked about the fence crawlers. They were the sheep that were discontent, if you like. They had everything they needed where they were, but they were looking for something else. They thought the other man's grass was greener, and so they would crawl along the fence looking for a hole to get out of. So that they could try out somebody else's land. And the thing was that those who separated themselves and wandered off were the ones that were more inclined to be picked off by predators. When you go out on your own, I guess it makes you much more vulnerable. And the trick is to stay close to the shepherd. The danger is always around. The fight is always on. Predators don't go away. Jesus says to us, doesn't he? Be alert, for your enemy, the devil, is prowling round like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Isolating yourself is as much a danger to us as it was to the sheep, or it is to the sheep. We're in the presence of enemies at all times. And McLaren said, this is the condition of God's servant. Always conflict, but always a spread table. Spurgeon said this, when a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, if he eats at all, he snatches a hasty meal and away he hastens to the fight. But observe, thou preparest a table, just as a servant does when he or she unfolds the cloth, displays the ornaments of the feast on an ordinary peaceful occasion. Nothing is hurried. There's no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table, and the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. God wants us in the midst of conflict to come to his spread table where there's everything that we'll ever need. So as the table suggests bounty, prepare suggests foresight and care. Before me suggests that this is personal. This is personal. The good shepherd cares for every single sheep. Luke 15 says this, tax collectors and other notorious sinners came often to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that he has lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, will he joyfully carry it home on his shoulders? When he arrives, he will call together friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. This is personal. Our God is a personal God. He spreads a table before me. He spreads a table before you because he loves us individually. As Jill read before, I am precious in his sight, honored, and he loves me. And then it says, you anoint my head with oil. Again, this signifies abundance. It points to the custom of anointing the head with oil at festivities and festivals. And it was an indication of prosperity and rejoicing. And it's indicative of the divine favor of God and prosperity and joy in our lives. Not just providing necessities, as we said before, but providing joys as well. Going above our God, this lavish giver. Keller said that one of the things a shepherd has to be aware of is ticks and flies and other such parasites that can be a real problem and bother sheep. Lots of parasites are common across the whole world, and farmers will often dip their sheep. You probably have seen it, as most of us will have seen, when they dip their sheep in those all kinds of, I don't know what's in the water, but it's to deal with things like these ticks and other things that bother sheep along the way. And where Keller was, out in wherever, one of the problems was a nose fly. And it used to lay its little eggs just in the nostrils of the sheep. And when it turned into worms, they would get into the sheep's head. And you can imagine how much of a bother that would be to the sheep. It drives them to distraction. Severe infection can cause blindness and even, in extreme cases, death. So the antidote which Keller used was an oil mixture. It was linseed oil and sulfur and tar, and he would smear it on the head of the sheep and around their nose as protection from these flies. You couldn't just do it once, you had to be doing it all the time, watching out for how the sheep was and doing it. It was a process that was repeated. And whereas before the sheep were terrified, once they began to see the flies, they would be very frightened and they would be running around trying to avoid these parasites. Some of them, because I researched this bit separately from the Christian side, you know, I had a look at what these things do. Some were saying they put their noses on the ground so the little flies can't get into them. So it's a real problem, and some of them go and hide in the woods for a while to get away from the flies that cause the problem. But once this oil was smeared on their heads, they were transformed. They had no bothers, no worries, and would just feed contentedly. Why am I telling you this? Because God says we're like sheep. We are like sheep. We get things into our heads that make us fearful, irritated, discontent. And our great shepherd wants to anoint our heads with oil. He wants to pour that precious Holy Spirit on my head. And it'll produce in my life contentment and joy and all of these other things, freedom from fear. My great shepherd wants to deal with the things in my head which keep me from enjoying the contentment and joy and abundance that he has laid out for me. My cup overflows. My God doesn't just fill me. He fills me to overflowing. No matter what storms I face, his very life, his very strength, and his vitality is poured into my life. Isn't that an incredible thing? And as it's poured, so it overflows. And it overflows in blessing to those around me who see that I react differently when I'm troubled and in those situations where I could so easily be robbed of peace. People can see that this overflow of blessing makes me different in those situations, makes me react differently. I have a shepherd that cares. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What a God. What a lavish giver. What incredible care. This is my shepherd. I want to end with just a few words from Philip Keller's book, and it says this: Jesus told us himself that he had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Just as the sheep man is thrilled beyond words to see his sheep thriving on the high, rich summer range, so my shepherd is immensely pleased when he sees me flourish on the tablelands of a noble and lofty life that he has made possible for me. Part of the mystery and wonder of Calvary, of God's love to us in Christ, is bound up too with the desire of his heart to have me live on a higher plane. He longs to see me living above the mundane life of common humanity. He is so pleased when I walk in the ways of holiness, of selflessness, of serene contentment in his care, aware of his presence and enjoying the intimacy of his companionship. To live thus is to live richly. To walk here is to walk in quiet assurance. To feed here is to be replete with good things. To find this tableland is to have found something of my shepherd's love for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He spreads a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Everyone is invited to this table that's spread. It isn't a 10 up here and everybody else down there. Everyone is invited to the banquet. And I want you to ask yourself, what is God asking you to enjoy of what he gives today that you haven't been enjoying? What is it that's in your head that needs dealing with, that needs the anointing oil of Jesus? Let's stand and hold our hands out to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we have a lavish giver who cares for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are so willing, and so often we are so reluctant. Help us, Lord, to come to the table of the Lord. Help us to allow you, Lord, to anoint our head with oil. That the stuff in our heads that holds us back, the thinking that's wrong, the things that get us discontent, irritated and upset, Lord, deal with your precious anointing. We are so grateful, Lord. We recognize today you have provided everything we'll ever need. Help us, Lord, to take hold of it with both hands. In Jesus' name, amen.